If you would be turning to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll read together the 11th verse down through the end of the chapter. It's good to see all of you here this evening. It's the first time we've been up here, and I think it'll work out just fine. It seems like we're in a nice comfortable place. It's warm, and we're in one area together. It's nice, and so I appreciate your indulgence in that. Because of the day and the situation, my remarks will be somewhat abbreviated, shortened, truncated, than usual. And I know when I'm through, you'll say, I wish he had talked longer. But I'm sorry. Sorry about that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's read together, beginning at verse number 11. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, and in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Timothy had an unusual position. It was unusual in terms of its opportunity. He was brought up at the feet of a masterful Bible student and scholar and preacher in the person of the Apostle Paul. And to be mentored by somebody like Paul would be something almost unimaginable to many of us. And yet he had a built-in difficulty as well, because he was, we don't know exactly what age, but young enough to have that as an albatross, as it were, around his neck, to where perhaps he would be in a congregation trying to teach or to preach or to help with the situation, and the response would be, well, you're just too young for us to pay any attention to. And so Paul understands that as a possibility going forward. And in these two letters, the 1st and 2nd Timothy, in his attempts to get the mind of Timothy right concerning what he needs to be about and be doing as a gospel preacher, he lets him know that these criticisms will come. But don't let anybody despise the fact that you're young. And now, we have some here who are younger than those of us who are a bit older. We have more of us here who are older than those who are a bit younger. But having said that, I'll just say this. The principle we're about to talk about for just a very few scant minutes this evening has more to do with just the youth that someone might have as a difficulty or challenge. Basically, this principle deals with all unjustified criticism, which every one of us at some point have had to deal with. Now, sometimes we're criticized because we deserve it. We brought it on ourselves, and we can learn from that. And hopefully, if we've done wrong, we can repent of the wrong we've done. We can ask forgiveness for the wrong we've done. We can do better next time. But we're talking here about things that are criticisms that are unfounded, unjust, things oftentimes we have no control over. You know, whether you're young or old, that's not anything you can control. You just are what you are. And so whether you're old or young, speak this language or that language, whether you're thin or less so, regardless of your situation, when criticism comes at you with respect to these things you've got no control over, there's a way to handle them and a way not to handle them. The natural first response way to handle them is to strike back with a vengeance. and return in kind. And there is a time for speaking back against criticism. You might remember in the book of Proverbs, the wise man there, in the space of just a couple, three verses, says what would seem to be contradictory things. He'll say, answer a fool according to his folly. And then just a couple of verses later, answer not a fool according to his folly. And you might be left to wonder, what's the right course of action? Well, it depends upon the fool and depends upon the context of the situation. There are times when it's best to respond. There are times when it's very best to just keep your mouth shut. And I'll say more times than not, that latter course is the best course. For one thing, when you respond and you fight back, you keep the thing going. You put gasoline on the fire and keep this situation that may have been simmering now in full inferno before you. And so sometimes, if not most times, best just to not respond at all, especially when it's unfounded, as was the case with Timothy's age. And so what do you do when you have criticism that comes to you that is unfounded, that you can do nothing about? If you can't speak back, if you can't fight back, if you can't bring about any kind of retaliation or vengeance, what do you do? Well, he tells us here, what you do is you be an example. You be the person you ought to be. And he gives some aspects of where this comes to play. In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. In other words, the best way to deal with unfounded criticism is to live the kind of life where the criticism just fades away as meaningless. It's seen for what it is, a baseless attempt to thwart a good work. Just keep on keeping on doing and being what you should do and be. And for just a second, I'd like to look at a couple of three of these areas. He talks about, first off, us being a good example in word. Being a good example in what we say and how we say it, the language we use. So oftentimes, we turn unjust criticism into just criticism by the way we respond, by using our language, our mouth, our words to speak out in such a way that we didn't deserve the criticism before, but now all of a sudden we do because of the poor way we've reacted and responded. We've used our words in a way that destroys and belittles and demeans and is unchristlike. And there's never a place for that. With all the criticism that came against our Lord, he sometimes didn't speak back and sometimes he did, but always with words of grace and truth. Never compromising the truth, but never in such a way as to be seen as bitter or mean-spirited. He was always one who treated people as people. And oftentimes when we're backed into the corner of criticism, the first real temptation we have is to sin with the mouth. You might recall in Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 2 when he extols the wonderful example of Christ in his suffering before and during the cross, encouraging us to walk in his footsteps. Reminds us first of all, who did no sin, he said to Christ, neither was guile or deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. In other words, through all of these ordeals of the crucifixion, Christ did not use his mouth in a way to demean the position he had or the person he was. And so, Timothy, when people criticize you, be careful. Be a good example in what you say. But then also be a good example in what you do. Now, the old King James says, in word, in conversation, and I grew up thinking, well, that sounds like much the same thing, but actually, the word conversation should be conduct, as it is here. What he's saying is, you be very careful to be a good example in what you say and in what you do, what people see you doing. Now, there's a longer list here. We're not going to go any further than just these two. But this should keep us busy for the rest of this year and the most of next year. Be very careful, all of us, in what we say and in how we live. And regardless what anybody might say against us or about us, it will mean nothing if we say the right things and we live the right lives. But we can upend all the good we try to do, all the good we claim to be, simply by responding to criticisms, by saying the wrong things, or living the wrong kind of lives in retaliation. And you say, well, how could you live the wrong kind of life when somebody says something bad about you? Well, the first thing you can do is you can go and try to get others to be against the person who's saying these things. That action is a matter of conduct which does not become the body of Christ. We shouldn't do that. And then sometimes you can, in your action, respond to criticism by actually trying to work the harm of the person who's done this to you. It's amazing that many times, many of us see our Christian religion as something that is convenient when convenient, but when times get tough and the chips are on the table and the criticisms come in, we lay this religion business to the side and then respond as people respond. And the truth is that these times when things get kind of hot and heated in terms of the way people are treating us, that's the real test of what Christianity is to us. That's the real test. It's easy to live right when everybody else is around you and encouraging you in the process. But when it seems everybody's against you and you're by yourself and you're being criticized and you don't deserve it and things aren't right and things aren't just, that's when the true metal of faith shows up. Do you really believe what you say you believe? Are you really a Christ-like person in what you say and how you live? And that's Paul's whole point. Timothy, when these criticisms come your way, just because you're young, they're going to be despising the fact you're so young. You respond by being a good example. In these areas, especially in the words you say and the life that you lead. Now, this is one of those short little lessons this evening that I'll have to put a disclaimer on the end. No, I haven't been getting any criticisms I know about. If I have, I can say I don't know about them, and don't let me know, because I don't want to know. But no, this isn't anything personal this evening, nor do I know of any problems among you that would have anything to do with this. The time to soak things like this in is when you really haven't got a problem with them. So that when a problem may arise at some point, you can drink deeply of the recesses of what you've learned and remember. Well, just ask myself, is this criticism, is it justified or not? If it is, take it, apologize, do better, and move on. But if it's not, well, fight back. Don't retaliate. Don't seek vengeance. Be very careful in using your words properly and in living the kind of life that disproves the criticism. Well, as we close this service out, I would ask if you are subject to the Lord's invitation this evening, if you're not a Christian, this is the time to become one. What a wonderful way to end the year as a child of God. Or if, as a Christian, you wandered away, what better way to end the year than to come back like the prodigal and be received? If you need to come this evening, come now as together we stand and sing.